we're moving well into April here. We've had our first 80-degree day of the season. We've had some rough weather here. We had the eclipse recently. I'm joined by Eric this week, Eric Alf. You've been all over the place. You've got to see some wonderful sights here recently. The eclipse, did a little storm chasing for us here yesterday, which would have been Monday here with the severe weather we had across the area. So we had a lot to talk about here this week on weather-wise. So why don't we get started with your eclipse trip. And up to Plattsburgh, New York, you had a chance to go up there to see totality. And take it away, what was your experience like?
Well, even just before the eclipse, I had a really stellar show in the sky the night before because, of course, for a total solar eclipse, you need a new moon phase.
That's right.
And the night before was crystal clear, no clouds at all. Now I'm in the Adirondacks where there's no light pollution. The stars, so many stars. It was beautiful. I haven't seen the sky like that in a while. But I just wanted to mention that. Now, the actual day of the eclipse, boy, oh boy, was it something. Now, throughout the day, the concern was a deck of cirrus clouds. And the concern was how thick does the cloud deck get? And fortunately, I can report that it did not ruin the show in any way, shape, or form. We still got to see the sun's corona. We saw the moon's shadow, which I did not see during my 2017 trip to South Carolina for that total solar eclipse. A big puffy cumulus cloud got in the way, but this time it was a great show. Now, I do think the cirrus clouds made it a little more bright than it could have been otherwise, so while it didn't look like nighttime, it more so looked like dusk, but it was still really cool. So during the time of totality, which was about 3.5 minutes, the mosquitoes came out. I even saw a bat. Boy, boy, those mosquitoes were very stubborn.
And I wanted to point out you about the bat. You mentioned there's a bat. So those of you who are on Facebook, you should hop on Eric's Facebook page. Look for meteorologist Eric Alf. You posted your video.
I posted my full 6-minute video, yep. And all my family members, including me, were like, Is that a bat?
Yeah, that was a bat. Great. And you could see it.
That was a bat.
Flittering around there.
Even the mosquitoes, when you're looking at the footage, you could see the mosquitoes start to get in front of my lens as well. What was interesting, though, during the 2017 eclipse is that was deep into summer, August. So we heard all of the night critters and the crickets come out. This time, it was a little too early in the season for that. I did not hear any crickets. So we didn't have that aspect. So that was actually one cool aspect about the 2017 eclipse that we did not have here. We still had some cool moments, even though the clouds covered up the eclipse during the 2017 show. But I think everything went so right for this eclipse because by the evening, the cloud deck thickened up even more to the point where if the eclipse happened then, there would have been some questions on how much the show was ruined.
Right.
What was really great as well is my grandpa is 91 years old. For him, it was basically now or never situation. And every eclipse he's been to, it's kind of been a dud. So this was kind of the magnum opus
for him. That's really cool.
Yeah, magnum opus for him per se.
No. Yeah.
He provided the entire family with solar eclipse glasses. He had these cool binoculars that had solar filtration
on
the
neat.
Binoculars.
Right.
And also a few of my old college friends came by and they brought their own little devices as well. You could create like a little hole with aluminum foil on a cereal box.
Right.
You look into the cereal box and you could kind of see the shape. But they brought that as well. I was not expecting that, but that was really cool. So my old college friends came up and kind of met my family. It was a really cool little
reunion.
Friend and family reunion thing. Got to introduce them to my grandpa. It was a really great time. Everything went right, I think. And it was a trip that I'm going to remember for the rest of my life.
Friends, check it out. His video, and I like how you posted of your experience on there. You said it was like
to.
Raw and organic reaction.
Yep. What's interesting as well is my cousin thought the eclipse was kind of going to be overhyped. You know, it's like, eh, whatever. Guess what? She had the best reaction of the entire family.
That's amazing.
The voice you hear in the video where it's like, this is amazing. Oh, my God. That's her. That's her. She had the best reaction of the entire family.
Well, a lot of people, you know, assumed that wasn't going to be that great that we're in totality because in most cases, if you've been in an eclipse before, if it hasn't been 100%, then you don't, and you can attest to this by witnessing this in real life. If it's not 100%, it's
not. If it's 98, if it's 99,
yeah,
it's a night and day difference, 99% to 100. Even just driving, if you lived like a mile or two away from totality, you drive a couple of miles, and you're getting a completely different show. It's really that stark of a difference.
Well, it's being in a shadow. I mean, and it's all about angle. And if you're just outside that path of totality, you're going to get just enough sunlight. And like here in Delmarva, we had 86% coverage. But you could tell it had a little bit of a hue, kind of a little...
Basically, if you're out of totality, the only way you're really going to get a show is if you wore the glasses and looked directly at the sun. When you're in totality, that's the pre-show and the post-show, because during totality, you can take the glasses off and look at the sun and look at the display of the moon covering the sun safely. And also, everything around you is dark, so you're getting a show in and of itself just by everything getting dark. But when you're not in totality, the only way you're truly going to get a good show is if you're looking at the sun and the moon, of course, with your solar eclipse glasses, your
which we had to do here in Delmarva, and not nearly to the experience that you had, of course, but we had a little bit of fun here.
It's the reason why I had to take photos and send it over. I want to share the experience.
Oh yeah, and so. that's what you know. Had to do that. Yeah. Get the experience, get a couple photos and video.
Well,
in real life is what matters.
I want to be able to look at that and whatnot, because I don't know, you know. Other times I'm going to have to travel. There is going to be a sunrise solar eclipse, actually, in southern New England. I think it was like 2079. And actually, after 2100, I think it's like 2149, something like that, there's going to be a total solar eclipse that will scape the most southern tip of Accomack County.
There you go.
That's past our lifetime, though.
A couple years from now.
Yeah,
just a couple years from now.
Just a little trivia.
Well, you heard that. Part of Delmarva is in the path of that. So... Yeah. Who knows? Maybe we've found a way to extend.
Maybe
life
we'll at that
get
point. Some kind of technology that allows us to live.
See that? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, like medical technology, but who knows?
It was not as nearly as awesome as what you experienced, but we did get a chance to hear at the station during the maximum partial totality. Well, not partial totality, but maximum coverage of the moon, 86% here in Delmarva, and like you said. You don't really notice anything unless you're wearing the glasses. And we did. We had a couple pairs of glasses outside. A bunch of us at the station were out in the street looking. It was really cool to see that crescent. Yeah. And there were other people just randomly walking up and down the street kind of trying to get a look at the eclipse. Didn't have the glasses, so of course they didn't want to look at the sun. And we were letting people borrow our glasses to take a look at. So we met some fine folks in Salisbury that were enjoying the afternoon. And just like you had up in Plattsburgh, the weather here could not have been any better.
That's great news.
We had clear skies here, too.
Oh, that's great.
And when it was done, that's when some of the high clouds started to move in. And I was concerned about you at that point because I had had a couple of our weather cameras here set up. We have a weather camera network. We can dial into a lot of cameras across the country. And, you know, places like Buffalo, Indianapolis, even Dallas. You know, I had some of these cameras set up, and they were all cloudy.
Yeah, there's a lot of clouds in the path to totality.
You know, and I was even in Rochester. I was looking. I was like, yeah, that's getting close to where Eric is. But you lucked out.
I was really happy to hear that. Kind of cool because the series of clouds kind of accentuated the emerging light.
Yeah.
From when the totality was ending, which kind of looked cool. You know how when you get sunrise and sunsets, when you get the high clouds, the coloration is kind of really cool.
Oh yeah.
Refraction. It made the emerging light cool. So like you know. Almost like a little bit of a bonus, per se, I guess.
Yeah. So there's always a good thing with that. Yeah. And I know one of our weather watchers, Arlen Lewis.
Oh, big temperature drop as well, by the way. It got a lot cooler.
Yeah.
Which everyone probably knows about with totality.
Well, that's
always said.
I heard that. I was noted by that. In fact, Arlen Lewis, one of our weather watchers in Cheswold, Delaware, went up to, I believe he went to Rochester. He noted the temperature drop. He noted... The sky change, he had one of the situations where he had all the clouds, so he couldn't see what you saw. One thing he was able to experience was that night and day. And he sent pictures. He was like, here's the totality, and this is like a minute later, here's, you know, after it was starting to end. And it was literally night and day. So he said at least he was able to experience that, and that was really cool to see. But, man, really cool experience. Again, everybody, check it out. Meteorologist Eric Alf. Facebook page. He's got his full 6 minute, you said, video.
It's six and a half minutes.
And a half minutes.
Basically,
about
a minute before totality and a minute after totality is the.
So you get to see the whole thing, and it is worth watching. The iris of the camera, you know, has to completely. You could just see it when you went into totality. Had to completely open up to take in any any light that was available. Yeah. So it was just really cool to watch that actually happen, that you had it on camera there. But, you know, we talked about the weather being great, and thankfully, the type of rounds of storms that we've had here waited until after that. But, man, we've had a rough start to the week in some parts of the area. What was it, Monday, setting at least coming close to some records, potentially setting some records here in the mid-Atlantic with our temperatures that were so warm, mid to upper 80s.
In fact, temperatures we haven't felt since October.
Right, and a little bit of humidity to go along with that, which wasn't horrible.
Which is the perk of it getting this warm this time of year so early.
Well, also, you know, the humidity value, you could kind of feel it.
Yeah, it was up.
But a couple months from now, yesterday or Monday would have been considered a nice day because, you know, obviously we're going to get into much higher humidity values. But it was just enough moisture that was available. Touch off some big storms. We had this one giant hailmaker that had crossed the Chesapeake Bay and ended up in Dorchester County and then started to redevelop, if you will. And for a little bit there, had a decent hail core, but it was over one of the more unpopulated areas of Delmarva and Dorchester County. That's where you were with the Mobile Weather Center.
Yeah.
You went to a little place called Best Pitch.
Yeah.
I like the name of that town there. They got a little ferry out there. Really cool place to be on any day, just enjoying the marshland out there. But you had a fantastic shot of that storm coming in.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to get the opportunity to do the local storm chasing. And there's so much flat land and fields here. It sometimes feels like I'm like out west in the Central Plains.
It does.
A lot of cornfields.
Gives you that look. It reminds me of my time when I lived and worked in western Ohio. You have that landscape to be able to properly view storms.
Yeah, you get these
safely.
Fields where there's not like a lot of trees
and
structures where you could get these really cool cloud photos, which did not disappoint. Now, when I was doing my little storm chasing adventures yesterday, I didn't necessarily go into the thick of some of these bad storms, but the picture that I took, you could clearly see the downpour, the hail core, the hail dropping all that precipitation. Also got some Mammatus clouds into
those
the mix
cool.
as well.
Yeah.
As the storms were departing. So like the fact that, you know, we had the hail and the Mammatus clouds, so that there was definitely a lot of turbulence in the atmosphere with these storms. The main bulk of the action looked like it was mainly towards Accomack County. I didn't really necessarily go to Accomack just because I didn't know how the cooler water temperatures this time of year would interact with the storms. I don't know if it weakened. It kind of looked more so like it was a giant rain mass as it headed towards Accomack County, not so much damaging wind gusts and whatnot. So I think in that sense, it was kind of weakening and kind
well,
of
the mode of the storm, it was, it was a singular cell, and there were a couple of them coming through. And then getting a look on radar while you were kind of down there at that point, they just kind of congealed into like a line.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned with the cooler waters, probably became more elevated than anything.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of lightning. There were
That's
some
kind
rain
of what I was noticing on the radar is that it was kind of being a more broad rain mass as I was heading towards Accomack County. So
yeah.
I kind of wanted to see if I could get, you know, good photos of like, you know, some more potent storms. And that storm that I did take a picture of from Best Pitch definitely looked very potent on radar. It's just that I was a little too north to be in the thick of it. But of course, as you said, I was able to capture an amazing shot of the storm structure from that cell. It looked like it was a It was mainly the southern Dorchester County show, per se. And I was just a little too far north.
And a lot of folks in Delaware got to see the structure of the clouds. I got a lot of pictures with the sun out.
I noticed that. A lot of beautiful photos.
It was cool, yeah. They didn't get a drop of rain in a lot of those areas. So it was your typical parts of Delmarva under the gun and the rest of the area
was
pretty quiet.
Yeah, what was really interesting about the heat is, especially this time of year, you really notice the potency of the sea breeze. Sometime between 11 a.m. and 12 p.m., we're seeing temperature drops of as much as 15 degrees in just 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, Monday was a perfect example of that. I mean, we had a couple of the numbers. I think you've got them down there.
Yeah, there's a station in, along the Bethany Beach Boardwalk where it was 82 degrees at 11:10 a.m. 5 minutes later, it drops to 68 degrees. You're talking about like a 14, 15, 16 degree drop in just 5 minutes.
Yeah. That is the protective sea breeze, as I like to call it. Anytime we have these big storms coming through, especially if they're severe, you get that to come through areas like that, and that kind of cuts them off from that. Doesn't necessarily always protect the coastal areas, but it does bring in a stable layer of air that, if it makes it far enough inland, can weaken storms as they come through. But that sea breeze in itself can also act as a trigger for more storms, like a mini cold front.
I mean, Rehoboth Beach drops 20 degrees in just 20 minutes. So you're talking about a degree drop each minute.
Yep. That's
And you also notice when you look at the wind direction, there's a sudden wind direction. Like it's like northwest wind, and suddenly it's an east wind.
Yeah, and you'll have some days too.
So a lot of times during the coastal locations, your high temperatures are, when you get these situations, are during the morning, actually.
That's true.
Yeah.
And you get these days where you have the morning highs along the coast, which will be almost as warm as inland. And then that sea breeze will come in,
it just
knock them back 15 or 20 degrees.
Yeah.
We've also had days, and especially when you get a marine layer involved, you get a nice thick fog layer that comes in. We've had days, I'm just thinking back to last spring, when we had our first 90-degree day here in Salisbury. And I believe the high in Ocean City was somewhere in the low 60s that day.
Yeah.
They didn't even get a chance to warm up.
Yeah. I know what's, it's like a little weird about the temperature probe in the Ocean City airport is that it's kind of surrounded by like concrete, a lot of concrete. And it's just far enough inland to like get more heat to build up. But even then, like it went, the recorded high there was like 89, but then it dropped to like 66 degrees in just an hour.
Yeah, so I think you're right, too, about that sensor being surrounded by the concrete there.
But just like overheats. The stark drop in temperatures is still enough mention because it's just so interesting.
Well, yeah, and people working out there in that area at the airport, you know, probably
it's gotta feel refreshing.
Happy.
It's a sudden marine breeze. Like,
very happy to have
like
that
an hour.
Come in.
Yeah, so that was really cool.
You know, signs of spring, they continue to pop up here across Delmarva. So we've had the storms that we've talked about. We're talking sea breezes now.
Severe storms, you know, just a change of seasons. You know, it's very apparent the transition that we're going into.
That's right, and that could also sometimes mean a murky marine type forecast where we have more clouds than anything and some showers at times.
Yeah, that's very very common with spring as well, especially around these parts around the Mid-Atlantic and whatnot.
Yeah, so we're gonna take a look at the rest of April here. We'll see where we're headed. It does look like we're headed a little downward with our temperature, or maybe
I don't see us
closer
getting
to average.
I don't see us getting to the 80s for at least the next several days. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on those patterns, and of course, you know, we always have lots to talk about here on WeatherWise. But as we go into the spring and summer months, there seems to be a little more to talk about because we have such active weather here across Delmarva typically this time of the year. So it will be interesting to see what we have toward the end of the month. Now, kind of going back in a little bit of a quieter pattern here. When I say quiet, not any extremes, but of course, showers and storms are still in our forecast, but we'll have to see how the end of the month transpires. So I think that's a good place to leave it. Again, check out meteorologist Eric Alf's page for a look at his experience of the total eclipse during his trip to New York. It's definitely worth the watch. But for myself, Chief Meteorologist Rich Boards, again, meteorologist Eric Alf, I want to thank you again for listening and downloading another edition of WeatherWise, a podcast from the meteorologist at 47 ABC, WMDT. Talk to you again next Wednesday.